I remember my father telling me a couple of years before he retired from the pulpit that in his last Yom Kippur, he had this dream, although he didn't do it, of actually doing Yizkor when it is supposed to be done, which is early in the morning. And then everybody would come in, of course, at 11 or 12 o'clock, and he would say to them, "I'm sorry you missed the Yizkor service. You should have been here when we conducted it, early in the morning." He never did it. But I want you to know that what we're doing this morning is actually in accordance with Jewish law. Because when you check the codes of Jewish law, you will see that it says when Shabbat is the Shabbat right before the Seder, it is incumbent upon those who lead the service to make the service short and to end early so that people can go home and have the day before the Seder at night. So that's what we're doing this morning. We are completing the service early, and if people come late, you can just tell them whatever you like. And in accordance with that, this morning's drasha will be short and to the point. And the point is about matzah. I thought about that. And the fact that matzah tonight, which we eat, coincides with Shabbat today, and both of them, in some ways, represent something terribly important. Why do you eat matzah, after all? And in order to understand this, let me share with you an abbreviated version of a Monty Python routine. Monty Python is the British comedy group. I will spare you my English accent. I'll just tell you what they said. But once, in one of their routines, a couple of people are sitting around and they're talking about how difficult their upbringing was. And one of them was saying, "You know, it was so hard, we only ate every other day." And the second one says, "Every other day, we would have been lucky to eat every other day. We had food once a week." And the other one says, "Food? We never had food. We ate glass. That's all we had to eat was broken bits of glass." And of course the other one says, "Glass, you were lucky to have glass." And this goes on. And it reminds you what every generation thinks about the generation that comes before it, which is, they always tell us how difficult it was. And our sufferings by comparison are nothing compared to what happened before. But what's the point of such stories? What is the idea behind saying, "I didn't have this and I didn't have that"? What is intrinsically valuable in deprivation? What's so good about not having something? Isn't the proper response to, "I only had glass"? Poor you, it clearly warped your personality, and wouldn't it have been better had you had food? The idea behind it, I believe, is that if you are deprived of something, you learn something about yourself that you can never know if you're not deprived of it, which is that you can do without it and survive. That's a very valuable lesson. You know, as somebody who has never been deprived doesn't know, that in fact you're strong enough to overcome deprivation, that you can move through it, that you have resources inside yourself that allow yourself to confront this, and it won't break you. So that when a child says, "Oh my God, I'll die if I don't get to watch this show," you can say to them, in fact, that you believe it is the best reason not to watch it. Because it will teach you that watching this show is trivial, and that in fact you won't die from not watching this show. You will learn, as Nietzsche memorably said, that what doesn't break me makes me stronger. That if you are deprived of something and it doesn't break you, then you're stronger for having been deprived. Think of someone who really observes Shabbat, what they do without. They know, for example, that one day a week they can do without money. They don't actually have to acquire anything one day a week. They don't have to buy. They don't have to be caught up in what the poet said was getting and spending. We lay waste our powers. They can say, "I know that I am capable of living a life without money, and depending on how traditional you are, without cell phones, without radios, without television, without electricity, whatever it is that your observance of Shabbat is, and I'll be fine. But someone who never observes Shabbat doesn't know that. They might think so, they might assume so, but they can't prove it to themselves because they can't resist the idea of buying something, of using money, of neglecting the restrictions on Shabbat that are deprivations. And the same thing is true of Pesach. The most fundamental staple of the human diet is bread. How do you know you can get along without bread? That's what Pesach teaches you. It teaches many other things. But one of the things that it does is it says that which is most indispensable in our mind for human life, we're going to take it away. And guess what? A week later, you'll be fine. You will be able to move through this. Just as on Yom Kippur, you will be able to fast for a day. And at the end of it, you'll be fine. In fact, what strikes me every Yom Kippur is that at the end of Yom Kippur, when I can eat again, I don't eat with as much relish as I thought I would. All day long, I assume that when the fast is over, boy, am I going to enjoy that meal. But you know what? When the fast is over, it's not such a big deal. And it teaches me anew that, in fact, I don't begin to tap my internal resources with the kind of life that I'm blessed to have. That I could be deprived of many more things that I think are indispensable to me, and I could probably come through all right. That's what those stories are intended to teach. That in fact all these deprivations are minor compared to the strength that we have. And when we say, Chayav Adam Lirot Et Atzmo Ki'ilu Hu Yatsa Mimitzrayim, that you're supposed to think of yourself as somebody who left Egypt, one of the things that we are supposed to know is we could have done it. We really could. We could have survived. We could have made it through. We could have gotten to the other side of the sea, and we would have been all right. And as fortunate as we are to not have to know that, that's how fortunate we are to know that it is possible. That in fact all the blessings of our life don't make it possible for us to live. That we can live on very little and a lot of faith and the people around us who care for us, and that would allow us to go through. And so Pesach, like Shabbat, like Yom Kippur, is in part a lesson in deprivation. It's all the things that we think we can't do without that in fact we can do without. And so on this Shabbat morning, many people who come here at the time that they would usually arrive will discover that on this Shabbat, they'll be able to do without a sermon. Shabbat Shalom.